parodies just become like, I would rather claw my face off than hear this again. Just start at 12 days and go to one. Don't start at one and...
Yeah.
Episode. I'm Lydia Malcolm.
I'm Jen McQuaid.
I'm Naomi McQuaid.
And you don't know what movie we're doing because you clicked on the thing and there wasn't a title in the movie.
Guess what? There's no December episode. There's no December movie.
Yeah. So what we've decided to do is come and have a little chit chat with you. So if that's the part you like about the podcast, congratulations. If you only want to hear us speak directly about a movie, you click away. It's fine.
We got a nice catalog, a nice back catalog.
Yeah.
So might as well.
At least three Christmas movies in there.
Yeah.
And more if you count like the ones that are just truly Christmas movies, like Die Hard.
Yeah.
It's a good episode.
Yeah. Plus you've got Opus, A Wish for Wings That Work from... even this July that you could go back and pretend is
Santa
from
Claus,
this month.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians with a special appearance with my brother Abraham.
Fun fact about Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. If you have seen the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special on Disney Plus, not sponsored, then you will see Kevin Bacon watching that. And I was like, oh, yay. He's watching a movie we did.
Man, maybe somebody will accidentally Google it. They'll be like, wow, and our episode will show up and they'll be like, what is this? And that's our connection to Kevin Bacon.
We only need one.
We've also got the best Christmas pageant ever from last year.
That was Lydia's pick. That was excellent.
I loved it. There was also Muppet Christmas Carol.
Man.
We didn't do that?
No.
We haven't done Muppet Christmas Carol yet?
I was like, I know I've lost time, but that's my favorite Christmas Carol. That's probably my top Christmas movie. Like, I watch it every year.
Okay.
I felt like, but like when you said it, I was like, yeah, sure, we've done that.
So I'm not sick.
I am. So you can tell me anything.
No, but I'm sorry. I really thought that we did that movie or else I would have suggested it a long time ago.
Well, now I'm going to look it up. Have we not done any Muppet movies? We've yelled at each other about Muppets.
Oh, yeah. All
yes.
The time.
Yeah. We did actually have a 4 or 5 minute clip at one point that I think we released about Muppets.
Possibly.
Might have been just on Patreon. I don't know if we've ever done
it. No, this is the beginning.
Yeah. This was like the second or third episode that it might have been like with Pan's Labyrinth or something like that.
That would make the most sense that we would talk about Muppets during Pan's Labyrinth.
I was also thinking Mars Attacks might be kind of a good one for us.
Yeah.
Bring us back to the Tim Burton.
155 parts of our podcast, and I honestly don't
look through it. I mean, if Jen knows that we haven't, I trust Jen.
We should really have a master list somewhere in order of what we've done.
Oh yeah, like alphabetical.
Oh yeah. If you go to shockedandapplaud.com, there is a link at the top under, it might be under episodes. If you click on that, you can get it by season.
Okay.
And so it's probably within the first season. Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm still looking through the list. I'm fixated.
I told you didn't have to.
Yeah. But do I listen? No.
No, because you're losing your hearing, apparently.
I am losing.
Did any of you ever do the one present you get to open on Christmas Eve?
No, I begged, but they wouldn't let us.
Yeah, we did that.
So I think that we should reveal what our January episode is going to be, since we already kind of know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
It's Sean's pick.
Yay.
It's 1985.
84.
84?
It was 84 when I rented it.
That's right. I'm thinking, so this movie, one of the Sean facts is that this movie came out in 84 and 85 was Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which also featured the Alamo.
Ah.
So.
Oh, are we just giving little hints? Are we not going to say what it is by name?
No, you got to play with the wrapping before you open it.
Jen, that's wrong. And everyone is just tired of watching people play. They're like, oh, I'm going to save this ribbon. This is a real nice, tear it off. I don't care what you do.
It's Cloak and Dagger. Does anybody remember who was in Cloak and Dagger?
I know who was in Cloak and Dagger because I just watched it. But for what? Suspense, why don't we drag this out for another minute?
Is it Kevin Bacon?
Fun fact. I once got into, okay, there was a time in the late 90s where I would go online and argue with people for no good reason. And I know I came across as a troll, but really I would just start arguing with people and I would get really mad. And one time I would go to like chat rooms and one guy was like, I'm Kevin Bacon. And I'm like, no, the f*** you are not. And he was all like, no, I am. And I'm like, no, because like this is a rando night where I'm just playing online and Kevin Bacon wouldn't show up for that. The odds of that are very slim. And he's like, are you really mad when people don't think I'm Kevin Bacon? And I'm like, sorry, but since then I don't like Kevin Bacon. From an argument that was most definitely not Kevin Bacon.
You do realize we can never have him on the podcast now.
He wouldn't like me either.
Oh, but okay, so first of all, maybe he was having a bad day.
You're coming from the position that this was, in fact, Kevin Bacon yelling at 18-year-old me on the internet.
I'm sorry. Have you not seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yeah, I have, but it's been so long.
Yeah, there's that whole moment with, you know, them arguing with internet trolls. Who's to say that Kevin Bacon couldn't have done the same thing?
I just think that if I was a multi-millionaire who is like world famous, well-renowned, I wouldn't waste my breath trying to prove. That's what fame is. You don't have to waste your breath proving who you are to people anymore.
Okay. So just because you're famous doesn't mean your ego is tampered down. If anything.
That's what it felt like.
If anything, it probably got boosted up. And like Kevin Bacon seems real chill right now, but you don't necessarily get to a real chill place without going through some shit. And maybe, just maybe, maybe, just maybe.
Maybe
he had a bad day and he needed to get it out on some random internet person. And he was like, oh, I don't. I mean, could you imagine on your worst day, you would be like, I don't like it when people don't think that I am who I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine if AOL had the blue check mark? It would have removed hundreds of thousands of chat rooms.
I'd still like Vanessa Williams. That was another one. And it wasn't even with Vanessa Williams. I don't even know. No, I'm not right. There's this beautiful black actress who was really popular at the time. She does a lot of dramatic roles and she has these striking blue eyes. And I was like, and I think it's Vanessa Williams. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm excited for the Patreon episode. Patreon. I know what things are.
Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon. I think it is Vanessa Williams, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, it is Vanessa Williams, but I was so certain she doesn't. The internet argument I got into was she's beautiful, but I don't think she has blue eyes. And the person was like, how dare you? And I was like, I don't think she has blue eyes. I think they're contacts. And they were like, no, how dare you defile her beauty with your incorrectness?
So both of these arguments happened in the year of 1999.
Ish.
Ish.
Yeah.
Okay. Applauders. You have an assignment for the month of December if you choose to take it. If not, there's no, I mean, I'm not going to grade anything, but I'm just saying if you go into Kevin Bacon and Vanessa Williams' discography, see what movies they were doing around the end of the millennia, and then maybe, just maybe.
I was the inspiration for their rage in those films and media.
Or maybe they were just having bad years.
Oh, and they just, and they both
found
me.
Yeah.
Randomly in a chat room.
Yeah. Yeah.
In random, I didn't go to like specify, I didn't go to movie chat rooms. I just went to random chat rooms.
And were you, did you always have like the same handle or were they different handles?
Yeah. Cause it was tied, I think, to your,
okay.
Your email account.
Here's my headcanon. For whatever reason, both Kevin Bacon and Vanessa Williams were having bad years towards the end of the millennia. Maybe they're freaking out about Y2K. I mean, it was the end of a millennia. A lot of happens. But they meet up at a bar randomly. That's the random thing. And Kevin Bacon's talking about this rando on the internet. And it's like, ah, doesn't know anything about me. Doesn't, you know, doesn't, rah, 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 rah. And then Vanessa Williams is just so inspired. That she goes searching for your handle.
But you have to, I have to reiterate to you, it was a fight with swoosh, swoosh, Kevin Bacon. But the Vanessa Williams was somebody fighting on her behalf because of what they, and it was an ignorant statement. I don't know anything about Vanessa Williams. So like,
still that conversation had to have happened.
Kevin Bacon's like, hey, rando at the bar, you know?
And then Vanessa Williams says, no, you're not Kevin Bacon.
I, Vanessa Williams, like to go online and argue about my eye color with strangers.
Vanessa Williams' eyes are naturally blue and not the result of color contacts. They tell the genetic story of her parents' mixed race ancestry and genealogy.
She's gorgeous. And I am now a person who loves to Google stuff and stand corrected. And she's definitely, like, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just, I have trauma. And I can't let go of stuff. Like, there's an intersection in town where I cut somebody off, and he raised his hand. He didn't even honk at me, but he was like, I should have gone, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, asshole.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think about it every time I'm at the intersection, and I never cut anybody off there. I try not to cut anybody off, but I don't cut anybody off there specifically. I will wait too long,
mm-hmm,
because my response to feeling like I've wronged somebody is deep shame.
I once commented underneath a meme on I Can't Has Cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was someone, you know, making fun of Firefly and Joss Whedon. And this was back when I defended, you know, Joss Whedon.
We all have a dark history.
And so someone had made the comment about, like, wishing disease on someone you don't know is bad. And so I was like, a pox on you.
You think about that sometimes?
And someone reported me as, like, inappropriate. And so I've rarely commented on anything. It's just like likes and reblogs. Because I'm like, I don't want to get flagged as being inappropriate.
I don't want the internet to think I'm bad.
I know, right? But it was like, conversation was specifically about, like, someone made a joke about people who didn't like Firefly getting a disease, and then someone replying with, it's not funny to go ahead and make fun of someone with disease, and then I wrote a pox on you. I think it was funny.
I think it's funny.
But I can't comment anymore.
Because you've frozen yourself.
Because I have limited myself because someone took offense to me making an offensive joke.
My response, especially if I feel like I've hurt someone's feelings, is it exactly mirrors the way my dad would do stuff. Which, because you feel sorry, you're like, I'm sorry, instantly and hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes across as aggression. And then you just walk away. You pretend it never, like, not that it never happened. It's not like you would never talk about it, but like you just try to make it not exist anymore. And then you just, like, the further away, you're like, oh no, that happened years ago. I think about it constantly and I can't go through that intersection without feeling bad. I will drive out of my way to not go through that intersection. But it doesn't exist anymore. That person has not thought about it beyond that day.
Or if that person does think of it, he doesn't recognize your face, probably doesn't recognize your car. He just thinks about that one time he got cut off.
He wouldn't even punch me in the supermarket.
No,
I bet.
He would just be like, he would roll his eyes, groan, and then walk away.
If that even.
If that.
But I can't stop thinking about it. I could list a dozen things like that. It's terrible.
Right.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, no movie this month, but like therapy if you needed some.
Ranting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ranting for a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, you suggested maybe we, and I think it'd be fun to talk about maybe the worst Christmas song that you love so much.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
We could just pick one out of the air.
The worst Christmas song.
But like the best.
The best worst?
Yeah.
The best worst.
Because we can't all be like, oh, Silent Night is just a glorious song that doesn't pierce my eardrums and whatever. But like you can be like Percy the Puny Poinsettia.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Well, I only remember one lyric from it, so here you go.
Sure.
Percy the Puny Poinsettia was sitting alone on the shelf. Even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. All I remember from the song, but it's a song about a poinsettia. Some people say poinsettia, and you're wrong, but a poinsettia that gets taken home for the holidays. Oh, fun fact, poinsettias are poisonous. Don't let your animals eat it. And also, they are a hothouse flower, so don't put it outside. It's just going to die.
Mm-hmm. Another fun fact about animals and pets is if you have any stargazer lilies, mm-hmm, you should keep those away from cats because the oils on this...
Stamens,
thank you.
Yeah, well, if it's the dick, I will know the name for it.
The I think it's the nectar on the stamens or where the the fragrance comes from the flower, that can be harmful to cats.
I know. I had these like life goals. Like as soon as like my living space became livable, I was going to buy house plants, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd walk into Walmart or I'd go to Fred Meyer and there'd be plants and I'd have a little money and I'd be like, oh yeah, no, I want. If you're trying to be conscientious and you Google the plant, mm-hmm. everything comes up dangerous for cats. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't.
I know.
I can't get house plants if Pitch is going to eat them. And she wouldn't, but if she did.
Yeah, Amos would. Amos would eat them, and then I would have no cat, and I would feel bad.
Yeah.
So.
So
Jen, best worst Christmas song?
Oh, and mine wasn't Percy the Puny Poinsettia. That was just an example. Okay. All right.
So Jen, since I brought up, what's best worst Christmas song?
I enjoy O Tannenbaum. I said that right.
Yeah.
Tannenbaum.
Yeah, but does anybody actually know any of the after O Tannenbaum? Does anybody know?
How lovely are your branches?
Sure, that's the English.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I needed to learn another language.
you didn't really put that in as the rule, Jen.
Well, I mean,
do you know the words?
No, that's why it's a horrible Christmas song, because it perpetuates itself year after year in the act when like Nat King Cole and Elvis Presley have versions of it, and nobody ever like remembers. It's
yeah,
sort
it's
of
like it's like your 99 Luftballons
or Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah,
yeah. Like what is the language that Auld Lang Syne is?
Oh,
is that
Auld Lang
German?
Syne? I thought that was like Celtic. Auld Lang Syne. It sounds like it might be Celtic or Old English.
Old English. I was thinking.
Both of them, I believe, are four chords songs.
Yeah. So they're the Four Chords have a song called the Four Chords Song, and I was obsessed with it for a little while. In fact, I went down a rabbit hole of trying to find every song that they're making fun of. Well, not really making fun of, but like listing out in their song mm-hmm. of four chord songs. And I did like a whole playlist of them because I love a four chord song. And well, you've said it as much, Lydia, that like if it's catchy, if it's an earworm, I like it.
Yeah.
And and I'll be like do 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 with the radio, and Jen will be like, you know what? You know this is a four chord song, and I'll be like, oh, you got me again. And then Jen puts it into the four chord song by the four chords.
And I always end up starting with the Jason Mraz.
Yeah. Won't hesitate. No. So let's just be like, should all acquaintance
I won't hesitate no more.
It's awful. But I love it.
So is that your best worst Christmas song?
No.
No, okay.
That's mine.
Tannenbaum's okay. Jen's. What's okay. yours?
Well, I got two.
Okay.
And I'd kind of like to hear yours before I choose, because you may choose one that I have.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You know what was great when I was young and not so good anymore, and thusly lands it as the one that comes to mind, and I'm sure we could have a longer discussion. Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer.
That was one of the ones I was going to choose. That's why I wanted you to go first, because I got another one.
I know every lyric. I have seen flash animations online that are atrocious. I have watched the Christmas special and read the book of the same name.
Is that the one where they have to like save the Christmas shop from like the evil family member who wants to try and take? They go.
Yeah.
They have to go to court. I've only heard about it.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
If you'd like us to review that on this podcast, play by play, please send an email to shockedapplaud@gmail.com. Go.
Okay. So for whatever reason, it always comes up. I don't know if anybody would call it their favorite. I don't think I would call it my favorite, but it's like constantly like it's a staple of Christmas and it's constantly been around for a long time. So the longevity of it, I think, is.
No, not that one. Oh, man.
No, that one's actually enjoyable and everybody loves it. But the one I'm talking about is the 12 Days of Christmas.
Like the whole thing?
The whole thing. Like start from 1, go to 12.
Everybody only likes the 5 golden ring part.
That's the only...
Ba-dum-bum-bum. You know, the...
Yeah. 5 gold rings. I like the... It gives for a nice parody, but even the parodies just become like, I would rather claw my face off. and hear this again, just start at 12 days and go to one. Don't start at one and
yeah.
It's I call it the best, but it's not my like
the best worst.
The things that I enjoy, I don't think I will find something good about them. I cannot find anything good about 12 Days of Christmas.
Pitch has her submission.
Yes.
And that is that any Christmas song that is turned into cats meowing.
Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, see, she's mad. Look at her. She's mad at you.
Meow, 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 meow. Two turtle doves.
And a meow, 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 meow.
I am pretty tired of the straight no chaser thing that comes out every year about this time now. That's the one where it's the acapella college guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do reference, is it just... Toto's song is it just called Africa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a four chord song.
Pitch, where was this energy for cats? We have a microphone. Do we need to plug it in? Is that why you're not, is that why?
She doesn't have any earphones. We never do her movie suggestions, which is just basically a YouTube playlist of birds and squirrels.
All right.
We should record her doing that and make that a Patreon thing.
I've had a couple of recordings that I've saved. Of her,
like just beating the crap out of the monitor
or the microphone.
No, well, she'll come over and start talking while I'm trying to do an outro.
Oh, that's so cute.
You can give those to Liz for the Patreon episode.
Let's see if I can find out where I archived those. Favorite Christmas cartoon.
Ooh, we already did mine. Wah, wah. Opus, the wish for brings the work. We talked about it for several hours, so in the can.
So is this like on a television show where they would have a Christmas episode and it would, or just like an animated special?
Anything that's animated and Christmas related.
I really like, I like the stop animation, if that counts. And that song about the little black cat with yellow green eyes was my absolute jam. And I only got to hear it like once a year from A Year Without Santa Claus or whatever. It's not Rudolph, the red nose. It's a year with you know, the one with the heat miser and...
I think it's done by the same people who did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but I'm not sure.
I think it's called...
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, no. I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
Never seen it.
No. I'm Mr. My Christmas White Christmas. Was... I'm Mr. Snow.
My Christmas was very narrow. There was, like, in the way that your mom absolutely loves Christmas, goes all out and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're going
Some would say too far.
But you're going to have... You're going to have like Frosty the Snowman. And we never, I mean, we watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mm-hmm. But the one that we always watched was A Peanut's Christmas, where, you know, where Linus says, I can tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown, and quotes that whole thing about, you know, the angels and the shepherds. And then he ends it with, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
But I mean, like for a while there, I would have said that was my favorite, but you know. Kind of last couple of years kind of changed how I approach religion in a lot of ways.
That's fair.
So I just like when people say they're not showing that on public television anymore, I'm like, well, yeah, because if you're an atheist or if you know, don't believe in Christianity, then this is just another aspect of Christianity at Christmas, literally like just everywhere. The term shoved down your throats about people in the gay community, you know, they're just trying to, you know, show public displays of affection out in public. They're not trying to shove that down your throats. But yeah. If you think that that's what it is, then you must also have a problem with the way that Christianity is presented around this time of year.
I was like that for a while. But then at some point, the stick got pulled out of my ass. And I can't imagine not letting people have a little agnostic Christmas, you know?
Right.
As much as like I don't, if somebody invited me to participate in their culture, as long as it wasn't a way that like, I mean, you know, I'd respectfully decline if I felt like it was going to infringe on my own personal beliefs, right? But if somebody was having an inclusive thing and I could participate and I chose to, I would feel very honored, and I would take my two options. I would participate and try to absorb, you know, somebody inviting me into their culture, or I would, you know. So I appreciate that, but no thank you. I prefer not to participate, but I have those options. And when something like Christmas that is just so big and the people who want to celebrate it are like so loud, and it's just, we have very few cultural phenomena like mm-hmm. this in the yeah. United States. We're not having like, we don't have tons and tons of holidays like other cultures, you know, mm-hmm. And so like this is one of them. And so if you only get like, I mean, when you look at your, I was looking at my employee handbook the other day and there's like the big six, right? You get Thanksgiving, you get New Year's, you mm-hmm. get,
4th of July,
4th of July, Labor Day, I think. Mm-hmm. And you get like Christmas.
Yeah.
And so like to make that something that is like presented to you so rarely, we mm-hmm. get so few things, like that, not including people, you know, like if you want to, oh man, my brain is potatoes right now. If you're going to make it for everybody, you have to make it as accessible to everyone as possible. And you and I and anyone else can observe it as, you know, religiously as they'd like. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to force it on everyone,
right.
if you are simply going to call it Christmas and put nothing else on it, that is the most responsible thing to do. Because like Christianity has stepped on a lot of people. You know, it's right. crushed a lot of people. People in this room have been greatly harmed. People who still call themselves Christians in this room have been greatly harmed by a system that has been exclusive to people that we turned around and was like, oh, no, wait, I love that person. Mm-hmm. And I can't treat them badly because someone's interpretation of text has pointed me harshly in this direction or has greatly wounded me in some way. Like,
right. Or it's this idea of, you know, Christian being the default in the same way that man and white and straight and cis and able body are yeah. the default.
Yeah, that's are you Jewish or are you normal?
Like, no.
No, yeah. What? So, like right. that doesn't no. Right. No.
And if you are going to insist on saying Merry Christmas, then you have to accept people who are going to say things like Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, you know, Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
You have to accept that. And like in a perfect world, everybody would speak their own language, but everybody else would at least be able to get the gist of what they're saying
yeah.
and accept them for who they are, even if they can't. They can understand a little bit of it, but they accept them no matter what.
When my dad came out, when he came out of the atheist closet, and he was super hard, like he was harsh on it, and lots of people, and I was a green Christian for a long time. I didn't have a lot of guidance, mm-hmm. and I know that I rubbed people the wrong way, but from a fairly young age, my family stopped going to church. So I had to like make those choices myself. And I got heavily involved in church. But then my dad came out and mm-hmm. he was all like, there is no God and only dumb people believe in God. And I was like, you're calling me dumb. And he's like, no.
Right.
Assuming that I'd eventually come around to not believing in God. That hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know. But when he was still so young, he would sneeze. We're big sneezers in mm-hmm. the family. And I would say, oh, bless you. He'd be like, that's not what I believe. And I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
okay. Okay. And I stopped. But when he softened up and he realized, you know, like I wasn't, first of all, it's a social custom. Mm-hmm. So it's just ingrained.
Right.
But also, and I might have been a little green enough to be poking him a little bit with a stick, but
yeah,
but not overtly. And I wasn't like, regardless, I got to the point where I was not being like, and Jesus says that your soul shall remain in your body because I have blessed the sneeze back into you or whatever the right. And he was like, this is my daughter who loves me, who noticed me sneezing mm-hmm. and said the cultural thing that nearly everyone says.
Yeah.
I think I switched to Gesundheit because mm-hmm. he loved German, but it means God bless you. So I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we as we gain knowledge, adapt those things. Just like, you know, I really will never celebrate Columbus Day ever again.
Yeah.
And I will celebrate my Indigenous brothers and sisters till the day I die, mm-hmm. hopefully in a non-appropriative way.
Right. And for me, I was the exact opposite. We always went to church. Like, that was always the way that, like, my dad, when I remember when my sister was out of high school, you know, 18 and everything, my dad was very firm on, you know, if you're going to be living under my house, you got to go to church. And he eventually softened that up. But I mean, it still was like you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot when you go ahead and make these kind of very specific staples for like, it's one thing if you do it for yourself. It's another thing if you enforce that onto other people. Mm-hmm. So that's why if, you know, like, unless I know the person that I'm talking to, I'm probably going to default to Happy Holidays. Mm-hmm. But I grew up Christian. I mean, it's gonna come out. I'm gonna say Merry Christmas, and I, you know, I'm not gonna worry about it. I think that life is too short to worry about getting every little thing wrong And sometimes you just gotta kick yourself and get what you're trying to say out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be pretty, but you get it out there and you can always learn from the fallout, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Turns out being a growing, adaptable human being is the best way to live your life. Yeah. This conversation is reminding me about conversations I had with Jen early in your transition. Like, you were very, and not unjustly so, but very sensitive to people misgendering you or just doing that over-explaining thing that I've talked about on the podcast before, where they're like, oh, well, I've always known you as blah, 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 right? They just overcorrect and it's so harsh. But I remember having a little God ball about it. And it was just like, you have to look at the intention behind people's words, right? Because ignorance is something that can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can learn and get out of it. We've all grown from, we've all done really crappy things unintentionally. And when we're corrected on it, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't spend every waking moment of your life correcting every little thing with such harsh repercussions, because it's not good for you. And it doesn't genuinely teach somebody, because when they're met with a harshness, I can get corrected by like aggression, but it's aggression. Like, I can't go to that bus stop anymore. Not bus stop. I can't go to that cross
section.
Yeah. And I do have to, but like, I don't like it
because
I think about that I screwed up and somebody was angry. Right. But the times I've been gently corrected and I've learned from it, I felt somebody took their time to open my mind about something. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you cannot even gently correct everyone all the time. So when Jen and I would talk earlier, it would be like, if somebody accidentally slips the wrong pronoun in there, is it the time that you need to correct them? Or are they just referring to you,
mm-hmm.
albeit incorrectly, but were they referring to you to show deference to you or to point out your desire? Like, you know, if they're, oh, will you hand Jen that, you know, object over there? Like, you're providing, helping them,
mm-hmm.
or directing someone to help them to give you what you want, right? And like, being like, every time is just gonna give you a heart palpitation.
Yeah, I still thank you for being an ally. And
oh yeah, I'll correct for you. I will correct for you. Sorry.
There's also sort of a, I think in early in my transition, kind of acknowledging or trying to differentiate the difficulties that I face culturally from the difficulties that I might face in overcoming those differences in understanding about my gender. So not getting angry with somebody about their misgendering just because I'm angry that culturally it's so difficult for people to wrap their heads around a shift in pronouns. And still, I mean, even today, you know, pronouns are sort of a joke. They're made as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think, it was like a John Oliver where conservatives were saying, and my pronouns are American and
freedom.
It's a bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid.
Right.
Okay, so it's funny because, and sorry, conservative older people tend to fall into that group a lot. Not everyone, but mm-hmm. a lot. But like the younger generation, whose humor I'm just starting to get, like the Gen Z, the Gen Zers, the ones after us,
yeah,
by like everyone born after like 1990 or whatever, they are so funny. Because I know for a fact that they would go to the throat
mm-hmm.
for like to protect somebody and provide their, when people are like, oh, you want safe space, they're like, yeah, we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Right. Like, yes, we all want a place where we can safely be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, like, you'd want the terrible things that happen to you to happen to us, but we don't. Sorry, you gave us the strength and safety to do that. But also, right. Why are you punishing us for that? It doesn't make any sense. And all of these systems don't work for us. And when you're out, we're in, and it's changing. And it's changing right now with how we make fun of things. And so with that, and I know it's not really my place to do so, but when they're like, y'all, be careful when you look, then they're all starting to become parents and stuff. And they're like, y'all, when you look through your kids' candies, be careful. They're getting crazy with these pronoun things. Look at this. They got a Hershey candy bar. Yes, that's hilarious. And I know that you would never do that to somebody. It makes fun of people who don't get it.
Right. I like that Gen Z has more therapy sessions than boomers or Gen X ever did. Yeah. Like combined.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as I worry about echo chambers and like surrounding yourself with people who will not challenge you, like it's why I take time to listen best I can to opinions that I don't necessarily snap agree with, because mm-hmm. I want to at least understand where you're coming from when, right. when we have conflict, because there's a reason you think that. Most people aren't being an asshole on purpose. But Gen Zers, they come from a place that has just enough padding around it where they're like, have you checked with a mental health professional about this? Have mm-hmm. you checked with maybe a nutritionist about this? Have you checked with like maybe a medical doctor about this? Mm-hmm. Have you tried a spiritual approach to this? Have you? And there are so many different places for them to reflect upon themselves. And yeah, they're scared, like we're all scared of being like checked very harshly because we all fail in the face of perfect morality. But mm-hmm. like, I feel like they make a lot of sense.
Weren't we talking about a favorite Christmas
Yeah, animated? I was just going to bring it back around.
We could just cut
all of me.
That's okay. I'll put that into the quips for this part.
I love you. I can't wait for the Patreon episode of quips.
A 20-minute episode and a 20-minute quip.
Okay, Jen.
Wait. Did you decide on Charlie Brown Christmas?
I would say I haven't found another one to replace A Charlie Brown Christmas. Mm. And that's partly because of how my faith is changing. Mm. So,
well, for me, there's I guess kind of a two. If I could choose two, one would be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because of the things that it helped me recognize about myself.
I one time saw the Seattle Men's Gay Choir do a Christmas show, and they had a medley in the middle, and they were like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is an allegory about being gay. It's just real good.
Nice.
For the same, I guess, kind of reason that my favorite movie is Wizard of Oz, it's not just because it's a fantastic film, it's because it has such a ring of just cultural significance around it. But I think the one, and I haven't seen it show up on TV or streaming for quite some time, is All of the Other Reindeer with Drew Barrymore.
We have that on DVD.
We've got to have it on DVD.
I know, but we have it on DVD.
It's probably in storage, but...
Sounds familiar. I don't think I've ever watched it,
it's got Drew Barrymore in it as Olive, the other reindeer.
Okay. Hence the name and the starring and Drew Barrymore's name. Like, starring Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about a dog named Olive.
Mm-hmm. Who's like, Santa Claus... Oh, I do a pretty good Drew. Santa Claus is in danger. He's lost all of his reindeer. He'll need Olive, the other reindeer. It's a gender identity thing. Nice. Not a gender... It's an identity thing.
Right.
Yeah. There's do you remember what the trucker's name is?
Gosh, it has been a long time. No, but it's a Christmas pun and it's really good. The whole thing is full of puns. It's very, we'll find it. We should go to storage and find it.
It's sort of in that same, and it's in an artistic style that's computer generated and kind of looks like South Park a little bit. So it's like CG.
Yeah.
But, and sort of like a South Park-y sort of deal, but it's that sort of flat animated design, almost like it was straight out of a pop-up book.
Yeah, it's got that. You know what it feels like? It feels like that Paper Mario game, except it all has the texture of like construction paper. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good, pretty clever. Mm-hmm. There's a mad penguin in it. Always love a grumpy penguin.
Yeah.
Well, we're at about 50 minutes.
Of the we're not recording an episode.
Now I'm just so curious about this guy's name.
Kevin Bacon. We already went over it. He doesn't like Naomi.
Kevin Bacon hates me is my claim to fame. That's why I've never made it in Hollywood.
Look, if I had a rivalry with Nick Cage, uh-huh. I would feel so good about myself because that man scares me, but also entertains me at the same time.
He's been doing, I think he's doing a lot better. I think maybe he got medicated because his last couple movies this year have been really good.
Yeah. But I mean, hopefully he's paying his taxes on time regularly.
Yeah, I'm sure he's finally like... The first thing I'd do if I ever got a pile of money is get somebody who understands money around me.
I would take half of it and set it aside specifically for taxes.
Yeah, I would pay outright. Mm-hmm.
The trucker's name is Round John Virgin.
Okay, now go through all the list of names of characters because it's really good.
There's Drew Barrymore as Olive. Dan Castellaneta Nice. Does the postman, Joe Pantoliano, who's going to be, or who is in the Goonies
episode
that we're going to be recording. He plays
with
Martini.
With Collateral Cinema.
Yeah, yeah. With Martini. His name is Martini the Penguin.
Yeah.
Edward Asner does Santa. Tim Meadows plays a character called Richard Stans, which is, it's not Christmas related, but it's...
I always thought that the Pledge of Allegiance was about me. Richard Stans. Yeah, Tim Meadows. I love Tim Meadows.
Diedrich Bader does the zoo director. I don't know.
I think if it had landed at a different time, it would have been a TV classic.
Speaking of the Pledge of Allegiance. So you know the people who did Animaniacs, right?
Yes.
They did this, like, they tried to do edutainment with history.
Yes.
But they didn't land it the way that Puppet History does.
Yes.
Okay. So,
but I watched that show religiously.
Yeah, me too. And they had...
If I could remember the name of it.
I don't remember the name. I remember they had, a crazy women of history roundtable with Lizzie Borden, and she pretty much compared herself to the O.J. Simpson of the late 1800s. Not the point. I was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. They redid the Pledge of Allegiance, which the Pledge of Allegiance is also pretty indoctrinating. It's kind of indoctrination for children.
Yeah.
But I will never forget that Pledge of Allegiance. Would you like me to do it for you now?
Oh, hell yes.
I pledge Ally Sheedy to the slag of the United States of Emilio, and to the repugnant for Richard Stance, one naked, undergarments, with liberty and lime juice for all. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But it was great. It was like, that's what I want to say.
It's brilliant.
It was like they knew for anybody who didn't want to like say the Pledge of Allegiance, or specifically that part where they say under God, they could, you know, just redo that whole thing.
I remember when who's the footballer who?
Oh, the one who took the knee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, give me a second.
No, he's like super duper famous, and I've read a bunch of stuff on him, and for some reason his name has fallen out of my head.
Yeah, and he like wasn't able to get into the, like, no NFL team was gonna sign him for a while.
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way, well, not in the same way, in school, when somebody would refuse to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, I didn't care if you said it, right? Because anything with God's name in it, I'm not going to hold you to, even when I was younger, right? But if people wouldn't stand for it, I would get like a little bit like, what the hell is wrong with you? They're just asking you to show respect, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and that's as far as my thought about it went for years. When Kaepernick started taking a knee, at first I was very confused because I am privileged and Caucasian and I don't watch sports, right? And conservative people that I love were getting super upset. And when that happens, my ear perks up and I'm like, I need to find out why, right? And then like Breonna Taylor and there's just like a slew of all of these coalescing events that weren't uncommon, and they're not really coalescing. It's just black people getting beaten on by a system that's set up to hurt them. Launched, people finally got sick of it and launched the Black Lives Matter movement. And then I'm like, oh, what is going on? And I, you know, people were putting out educational information and I was absorbing it. I got into a whole bunch of like, BIPOC TikToks, and people were educating, like coming to educate people, and I was trying my best to absorb it. And then it was like, this man, Kaepernick, who is in a respectable place of power, you know, popular sports ball player, is like, you need to see this, and I have a platform to draw people's attention to it, and I'm going to do it in a way that is not disrespectful. He wasn't screaming at the top of his lungs. He wasn't flipping the bird. He just simply refused to stand because he wanted to highlight a system that was hurting people, his people,
right?
And just the white rich men just couldn't stand a peaceful protest, and that's what launched the, I mean, like, you, if the peaceful protests don't work, people will find another way to protest. And so I think it's really worth listening.
Right. And the thing is a lot of the protests that did turn violent, the majority of things that got destroyed were buildings.
Yeah, corporate buildings.
Corporate buildings that had insurance on it. You know what's very different from the Black Lives Matter protests of the 2000s versus the I'm calling it an attempted coup on January 6th. And it was only attempted because the military didn't buy into their rhetoric, because Trump was all like, anyways, sorry. But the huge difference is that it's not just the color of the skin. It's not just the fact that the police force were less aggressive with the attempted insurrectionists.
Yeah.
It was because of the fact that they were storming the Capitol building, and they had ultimate, and like people had like, were like getting injured and getting killed like live on camera, and to a degree that could very easily be considered torture, because it wasn't just like a one and done. It was like, stop this, I'm not hurting you, you're hurting me. And there were pleads from some of these police officers to stop what was going on. And I mean, like,
and it was just because they didn't get like the guy that got elected. It wasn't like the statistics that have affected Black people forever in terms of like, I mean, if, and even just anecdotally, if you sit down with a BIPOC friend of yours and you talk, and they're not even like in hugely over-policed areas like New York, you know, the stop and frisk of New York. Mm-hmm. Like, if you, I mean, like, we're in pretty cosmopolitan area out here in the Pacific Northwest. Like, my friends who have been born and raised here, if you ask them about what it's like to get pulled over by the police, like, they haven't done anything wrong. These are not radical people in any means. They're people just living their life lawfully, mm-hmm. and they are being abused by a system that is set up against them. I'm just saying that to compare the two is important, but they are radical, like, they are intensely different.
Yeah. One is an apple and the other is an assault rifle.
Rotten apple.
I was thinking like Black Lives Matter is like the apple.
Oh, nutritious and healthy for you.
Nutritious, healthy, good source of fiber, good source of vitamin A, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other is an assault rifle that can be easily gotten in this country and then used to kill people in mass numbers. The two are vastly different.
Speaking of killing vast numbers of people unreasonably, you're going to really like January's episode. of this podcast, because like a lot more people die than you'd think
for a kid's movie.
They do not hold back their punches,
no, or bullets.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, let's transition that somehow.
Yeah. I will probably cut like half of this will probably get cut
and then put right back into our Patreon episode.
So you want to hear us talk about things in a ranting manner, you know, support us on Patreon. It's just $1.
Yeah. You get our episodes unbleeped, and you also get a treat every once in a while. Mm-hmm. A little something. Our little clips episode. What did you call it? A quips episode?
Quips. Ooh, quips episode. Yeah.
Quipisode.
Quipisode. We could even start doing it on a regular basis, because sometimes with Patreon, it's always good to have like more, because you can like really get, but then we have to like keep up with it. But if I'm already doing the quips, just like put that out once a month.
Oh, no.
Sometimes it's also really boring stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's just us ranting about like pitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pitch is a sweet heavenly angel baby. Mm-hmm. She's my little pointy princess.
Right.
My little bitey claws.
We'd like to thank the Vern for being a Patreon member.
We love you, the Vern.
And as Lydia said, you can join us on Patreon. No, Naomi said this.
We all say it.
You can join us on Patreon for $1 per month. That gives you access to unbleeped episodes. Mm-hmm. And you can find out how to do that by going to shockedandapplaud.com and clicking on the Become an Applauder link at the top.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you drop that much change in a month, you probably wouldn't miss it that hard. And it lets us know you're listening. So, you know, hook it up if you feel like it.
Yeah. Or if you, for some reason, can't afford $1 on Patreon, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Feel free to drop us a like or a review on whatever podcasting app you use.
Yeah, we tend to read those on a broadcast, so.
Yeah, so, I mean.
It's super fun.
We're getting so few, now's the time to drop a comment.
Mm-hmm. You can do so at podchaser.com for both episode and reviews, and you can do our podcast, full podcast show reviews on Apple Podcasts. And I believe Spotify might have a rating option too, for that's just a, like
do.
A 5-star.
They do.
Deal.
As soon as you listen to an episode on Spotify, you can review it.
Right.
We don't have any rating on Spotify, by the way.
Okay. I'll get right on that.
Yeah. I was thinking I might. I don't care. I will rate myself. Here's the thing. When I was a kid and we had to vote in class elections, and they'd be like, They'd be like, and I'd be like, who did you vote for? And the person would be like, I voted for myself. I'd be like, oh, you can't vote for yourself. And then I was like, why would you run if you wouldn't vote for yourself?
So just to make it fair and let people get like an honest idea, someone votes 5 stars, someone votes 3 stars, and someone votes 1 star.
No. a review on a social network is an accumulative review.
Yeah.
So if we do, if we like the podcast enough to have done it for 3 years, 4 years, then we can give it 5 stars. And if people have a different opinion, they can show up.
I don't know. Maybe I just feel it's disingenuous to give yourself 5 stars. I mean, like, I'll give ourselves a 4-star review and be like, I don't know. I mean, some of their later stuff seems pretty disjointed, but they do say that they've been, you know, in sweater weather mindset for a while. So maybe I'll just wait until spring.
I mean, if you're willing to update your podcast review in spring when we apply the content you do like. No, I welcome fair weather reviewers as well. Just give it to us.
Yeah.
And we are in a brief hiatus from Twitter until they figure out their shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find episode notifications on Facebook. I'm trying to get better about it on Instagram. And that's probably the best place if you want to see Sean's artwork for our episodes as
yes,
well.
Yes, our Sean Facts. You can hit the button. Our Sean Facts guy. It's our new Sean Facts button. I love it. And hey, that's new for you for this episode. We're going to. So good for you for that. But Sean does our fact checking because he wanted to make our podcast better and join in. And then he started contributing fantastic artwork for every episode we do. And definitely check it out because because he listens to the podcast and as he like, he'll just come over like the best art.
Yeah.
He made Lydia into Opus.
Yeah, he also did some really good artwork for the Ruby Raw that he did for Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the cats
the cats episode.
Yeah. Talk about an Eldritch abomination.
Well, applauders, that has been our December episode. Until next time, I am Jen McQuaid.
I'm Naomi McQuaid.
And I'm Lydia Malcolm, and this has been Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Yay!
Speaking of cats, did you, like, a year ago, Elton John put out a music video with Dua Lipa, and the music video is so trippy. The first time I saw it, I was like, I didn't know that Elton John redid Tom Hooper's Cats, and it looks a lot better, too. It really does.
I'm going to have to see this.
Yeah, it's the Cold Heart remix by Panau. If you do Elton John Cold Heart or Elton John Dua Lipa Cold Heart, it's probably like the remix one that comes up. It's going to have the most interesting thumbnail. So,
I'm down. Let's watch it.
Cool.